So right here we see that after they had this battle, and we're going to go back to Deuteronomy in just a few moments, but here in verses 30 through 32, Joshua built this altar, and this altar was told Moses that he should build this altar or have this altar built when they went over and conquered some of the cities over there. And so that's exactly what he's doing. He's following through with this, and we see that as they crossed the River Jordan by faith, they went and walked around the city of Jericho by faith, and the walls came coming down, and then by faith conquered Ai after their mishap, which they this one man disobeyed God. Because of that, all of Israel was in sin, and they lost that, or there was a cursing upon them. But then when they repented of that, God blessed them. And again, it gives us the idea and shows us what God's plan is for us. He calls us to do something. That is to follow him. He asks us to trust his leadership, realizing that he knows best. And he demonstrates to us, even when we don't obey or we disobey, that we can still get right with him. We can repent of that, and he will put us back on the right path, just like he did the children of Israel. And he also wants us, as I look at this passage here, really to me it speaks of our testimony. It's speaking of the testimony of Israel, the testimony of Israel to all those children that are in the land of Canaan, that God is in control of this situation. God is doing a miraculous thing. Well, God's done a miraculous thing in our life as well. When we put our faith and trust in Jesus, he changed us, and he's continuing to do that. And it's not just a one-time deal that you get saved and it's over. You get saved, and he keeps working in your life on a daily basis. And it's amazing when you look back. It's like climbing a mountain. You can only do it one step at a time. Now, coming down, it might be two or three. I don't know. But going up, it's one step at a time. Well, that's the way the Christian life is. It's one step at a time. And so we see that God is doing a work here, and he's doing a work in their lives. And he wants to do that very same thing in our lives. But here, he's come to Mount Ebal, if you will, and he's given this instruction to build this altar. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 27 for a second. Deuteronomy chapter 27. Deuteronomy 27 in verse 1. We're going to read down to verse 8. And this is where this is coming from. And this is where Joshua has this understanding, because he knows all about this. He was the minister of Moses. He was there when these things were given to Moses. It says, "And Moses with the elders of Israel commanded the people, saying, keep all the commandments which I command you this day. And it shall be on the day when ye shall pass over Jordan unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, that thou shalt set thee up great stones, and plaster them with plaster. And thou shalt write upon them the words of this law when thou art passed over, that thou mayest go in unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, a land that floweth with milk and honey, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee. Therefore it shall be, when ye be gone over Jordan, that ye shall set up these stones which I command you this day in Mount Ebal." That's where they're at now, so that's why they're doing it. And it says, "Thou shalt plaster them with plaster. And there shalt thou build an altar unto the Lord thy God, an altar of stones. Thou shalt not lift up any iron tool upon them. Thou shalt build the altar of the Lord thy God of whole stones, and thou shalt offer burnt offerings thereon unto the Lord thy God. And thou shalt offer peace offerings, and thou shalt eat there, and rejoice before the Lord thy God. And thou shalt write upon the stones all the words of this law very plainly." So here he's giving the instructions, and that's exactly what Joshua is doing here in verse 30 and 31 through 32. He's doing what God has called him to do. And he told them that when they built this altar, that they were not to put any tool upon the altar. In other words, he didn't want man messing with the altar. Just gather the stones and put them on there, okay? Whole stones, he said. So there was to be no human work associated with it. And, you know, you think about that. Turn to Exodus, if you will, chapter 20 for a second. Exodus chapter 20, I want you to look at verse 22. In verse 22, he says, "And the Lord thy God said unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel," this is Exodus chapter 20, verse 22, "ye have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. ye shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall ye make unto you gods of gold. An altar of the earth thou shalt make unto me, and thou shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings and thy peace offerings, thy sheep, thine oxen, and all places where I record my name. I will come unto thee, and I will bless thee. And if thou wilt make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone, for if thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. That's why he told him not to put any tools on it, okay? Because if man messes with it, it's going to mess it up. That's what he's saying. Neither shalt thou go up by steps unto mine altar, that thy nakedness be not discovered thereon. So he's telling them that they're not to put any tools upon this, not to touch it. And again, when you think about this, in a sense, it's a picture of the fact that we cannot do anything to save ourselves. When we intervene or try to do something, we mess it up. In fact, we've already done it. And today in our society, we think, as human beings, that there's something that we can do to earn favor with God. And when we think about how we get to meet with God, we all think, or not all of us now, because some of us are saved, but there are a lot of people in this world thinking, it's me having to do something. It's me having to keep the commandments, me having to do all the work, me having to do these things to earn favor with God. If I'm just good enough, if I can just do the right things, if I can just not say the wrong things, then God's going to be pleased with me. And I'm going to be able to enter into heaven, enter into the pearly gates, if you will. But that's not what the Bible teaches. And that is not what God is trying to teach the children of Israel. It's not about what you've done and what you're doing. It's about what I've provided for you. Even when they go to this battle, as they cross the River Jordan and they're fighting these cities, it's all about God. He says, you don't touch things that I tell you not to touch because you'll pollute them. And those things I tell you can have, you can have. And that's what he's trying to teach us as well. And we understand that, we who are saved, because we know that it had nothing to do with ourselves. Before I got saved, I was a dirty, vile sinner that hated God. What do you mean you hated God? Well, in my heart, I didn't care about the things of God at that particular time. I didn't want anything to do with him. In fact, I thought, well, if you're doing stuff for God, that means you've got to sacrifice and do this and do that. You've got to go to the mission field. You've got to do, you know, how people think about if you get saved, it'll ruin your life because you can have no fun, no more fun. It's done, you know. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches us when we put our faith and trust in God, then He starts to remake us and remold us into something different. And yes, we can have joy in that. You know, joy is so much greater than just a little bit of fun. Joy is something that can last and last and last. Forever, even in the thick and things when things aren't going right. And so it's all about the fact that Jesus died, shed his blood for us. That's what saves us. Man didn't do anything to deserve that. He didn't do anything to earn that. God did it all. And because of what he did, we have the opportunity to accept it and put our faith and trust in it. That's all God was trying to teach Israel. Put your faith and trust in me. I'm going to do it all. And so he told them to not touch anything with their tools. And so they're going to offer burnt offerings and they're going to offer peace offerings. And, of course, this is all part of the plan. And, again, it's to express their thankfulness, express fellowship. It's something that we as well, we want to offer to God, our lives. When he's already said, and, of course, when you put your faith and trust in him, the Bible teaches we're bought with a price, but he wants us to willingly offer it. You know, you've heard talk about the living sacrifice. That's where we can sacrifice or say, Lord, I'm willing to do whatever today, but tomorrow not. You know, we crawl off the altar, if you will. Well, God doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to learn and grow in that. He knows it's going to happen, but he wants us to learn and grow in that so we can continue, in the maturing of our Christian walk. And when we take one step forward and two back, it takes us a whole lot longer to get where God wants us to be. And really what it boils down to is either we're stubborn or we doubt or we're afraid of something. Something always gets in the way. And when we can trust him in every situation, then we can always be moving forward, always going the right direction. And we can have that peace with God, that peace that passeth all understanding we talked about a couple weeks ago. And that's what we all want. We want that peace. That's what God wants the children of Israel to have, is that peace. And though that I'm asking you to go forward by trusting me, you do your part, I'm going to take care of the rest. Isn't that what God asks us to do? He's saying, you do your part, pray, read your Bible, be faithful in the things of God, and I'll do my part. And His part is always greater than our part. He blesses us. He directs us. He guides us. And He helps us. And look what's important to God here. This is a testimony. What's a testimony? The fact they're building this altar. And on this altar, they're going to write the words of God. Now, is this the Ten Commandments? I'm not sure. It may be some of the words that in Deuteronomy chapter 27, it goes through there that from 27, I guess, verse 9 all the way to chapter 30, that all of this stuff is spoken to the children of Israel. These words that Joshua is supposed to speak here are spoken to the children of Israel, the women, the children, and all those that are there. And but he wants them to write the law on these stones, and it's a testimony. It's a testimony of God working in the children of Israel's lives, bringing them forth to where they were, to where they are at. We have the same thing going on in our lives, don't we? You know, we all got saved, and that's a wonderful thing. That's a great experience, and we'll never forget that. And don't ever forget it. But God is also doing something today. He's doing something in your life right now. You and I are here by the grace of God. That's the only reason we're here. And it's amazing when we think about that just a little bit and understand that God wants us to be a testimony just like He wanted the children of Israel. Now, we don't have to write the words of the law on our forehead or on our bodies, but we're to live the Word of God. That's what He's talking about. And that's how we demonstrate, to others, that we believe and there's some hope in this world. Today, when I listen to the news, there's no hope. This world has no hope. I don't even know what news is right and wrong. I mean, you can turn to any station and you can hear whatever you want to hear, and you just don't even know if it's right or wrong anymore. Now, I will say one thing that I'm kind of excited about is the news I heard today that President Trump is going to move the embassy to Jerusalem, the capital. That, to me, is exciting. That's right. Everybody's unhappy about that. But, you know, that's part of the plan. Jerusalem is the capital. And we ought to make note of that. In fact, I guess 1995, they said that the Congress said that we recognize that as the capital and we're going to move there. But and every president they said on the radio said promised it, but none of them did anything about it. And Trump is actually doing something. So that's exciting. But the fact is that we, as a testimony, a living testimony, we have the opportunity to share the things that God has done in our lives and how He has really ministered to us, got us through different things. Everybody in this room can think of something that has gone on in their life that at some point they might have thought, how can I get through this? How am I going to handle this? And then God revealed to them that I can take care of it. And I'm there for you. And you know, that's the testimony the world needs to hear. They need to hear that today. You know, because they can't understand how they're going to get through it. They don't have any hope. They're just muddling through with no idea what's going on or how these things are happening or how these things can happen. And so we, who are the ones who are the born-again Christians, we have to be the ones to share that, to be that testimony. And it's the Word of God that we're able to do that. Now, we can't always go up to just anybody and spit out the Word of God. I mean, you could do that, but it's not going to have any effect. A lot of times, they might not even hear you. You just might turn them completely off, and you know this. But we have to take time to have the inroads that we might get to share the Word of God. It may be something as simple as, we've gotten away from the reason of Christmas. You know, you can start with that conversation, especially this time of year. And if they, you know, come back or whatever. It's interesting. I said that to somebody yesterday, and they said, yeah, I haven't been put my Christmas tree up for years, and this year I'm putting my Christmas tree up. It's like, the reason for the season is the Christmas tree, and we got to get that back up, and I'm going to do that. And you know. And I thought, that doesn't sound quite right, but that's what people think. That's really what they think. They have no idea that it's about a Savior who was born. And so this is the opportunity for us. And so here he calls them to the assembly. He called all of these people. The Bible says it's all Israel, the elders, the officers, judges, the women, the children, everybody, and the strangers that were conversant with him that were with them. And so all these people are gathered together. And here he is. He's sharing the Word of God. And this probably wasn't some short thing, especially if it's Deuteronomy chapter 27 all the way to chapter 30. It was probably a pretty long sermon that he was given there. But he was sharing that, and he was talking about things, and I'm not going to go there. But as he read the word of law, he talked to them about the cursings, where God told them, he says, if you don't follow me, I'll curse you. Is that valid today? Okay, it is, but it isn't. It isn't the same situation, is it? When the cursing comes upon us, it's more like the chastening hand of a loving father. And that's kind of what God's always wanted to do. But the thing is, it's other than the blessing. When you get blessed, like for instance, when God opens the window of blessing and gives you more than you can handle in whatever area it is in your life, and I'm not talking about just the money or the material things, but the spiritual things. Having that peace, you're there and you have that Christian concern, worry going on in your life, and you pray to God and say, God, I just can't handle this situation. Can you help me? And maybe you have the opportunity to read a couple passages in the Bible, and the word of the Lord just springs off that page, and all of a sudden you have peace. God's in control. I can trust him in this. He knows all about it. In fact, he knows the situation better than I do. He knows the outcome. I don't. He knows what's going to happen in 15, 20 minutes from now. I don't. And that's a wonderful blessing to know, that you can just rest in the Lord in the situations that's going, the situation that's going on, knowing that you can trust him. Now, we always got to do our part. The Bible teaches us that if we don't work, we shouldn't eat, right? So to sit in your house and to twiddle your thumbs and say, Dear Lord, I need some food, and expect God just to throw it in your lap, that's not really what he's talking about. You and I have to put forth the effort. We have to trust God that he's able to provide, yes, but he does it in a lot of ways. Gray's experienced this. Years ago, he told me, he says, he got his children through Bible college and didn't know anything at the end of that, because the Lord provided all the overtime that he was able to work. God provided that. He met the need, you see. He does that in many different ways. And he can do it for us as well. And that's what he wants to do in our lives. And so here, through the Word of God, they're listening to him. He's talking about this. He's talking about the blessings in chapter 28, how they can be blessed if they'll just follow him. If they'll trust him, God will continue to bless them in their walk and everything that takes place. He talked about the new covenant that was going to take the Palestinian covenant, and talked about how Christ was going to return, and how they were going to be restored to the land, and how God was going to provide all. This was all future, and it hasn't even happened yet. But yet he gave them all this information. Why? Because he wanted them to keep focused on the Lord. And of course, he was trying to show them that Christ had to come as well. And that's what God does for us. He doesn't just give us today, but he gives us the future as well. And we can trust him for that future. You know, when we think about the Lord's Supper, that's what that's all about. It's about the fact that Christ died, but it's about the fact that we got to live today for Christ and that he's coming back as well. And that's all that the children of Israel were getting from Joshua and through Moses were the things that God had promised them. And he does this more than once. He doesn't just put it down in one place and say, that's it. He put it down in Deuteronomy, and then Joshua is reading it to them again. Moses read it to him once. They're getting it again. Why? We have to be reminded over and over. I know I do. I need to be reminded on a daily basis that God's in control, and let him show himself mighty in my life. And so here, Joshua is just following what God had told Moses to do when he got to Mount Ebal. And he's following through. And this is going to cause the children of Israel to continue on a path of success, because they're willing to do the little things that God has called them to do. Now, this isn't little, by the way. Building an altar, gathering all the children of Israel together, and then going through and reading Scripture. That's not a little thing. That's a big thing. But they're going to do it because God said to. And it's the same for us as well. So all this relates to us. It relates to us because we can know that we're bought with a price, that Jesus owns us, and we just have to serve him. Also that we're to give testimonies, we're to share with others. And 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, we having the same spirit of faith, Paul writes, according as I have, as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. It's again just reiterating the fact to others that we are putting our faith in a holy God, a God who's changed our lives. And then also, as children of God, it's just to obey from the heart. Obey God from the heart. And it's not as hard as sometimes we make it. And it just goes back to that in Matthew chapter 11, in verse 28, where he tells us that all we have to do is to yoke up with him. Why? Because his path is easy. And that's the whole key for us, is that if we're with him, it's easy. Keep that in mind. As long as he's with us, closely with us, or better yet, we're closely with him, the path is going to be easy. You know, we can look at Jesus' life and we can all come to the conclusion and say, well, his life wasn't easy. It wasn't easy for him to go to the cross. It wasn't easy for him to be smote and spit on and smacked around and the crown of thorns put on his head. That wasn't easy. But yet it was. Why? Because the love God had for us and the love that Jesus had for us. That's what made it easy. It was for the joy that was set down. That's why he did that, despising the shame. And it was easy because he loved us. Our lives can be easier as we demonstrate that love to him as well. Let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you for your love for us. We thank you for the Word of God. And as we think on these things and think about this whole thing that the children of Israel are doing as they are being obedient to God and as Joshua is leading them through the Promised Land and listening to God and his instruction and just following those things that he has provided for them, it just reiterates the facts that we as a child of God need to do the same thing. And Father, I pray you would help each one of us. Again, I thank you for your love for us, and thank you for the power of Christ in our lives. And I pray you continue to magnify that, just as you magnified Joshua to the children of Israel. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.